Quiet together, please. And just lift our hearts once more to the Lord. Father, we thank you for the meeting we've had already, for the help we've known. Thank you for a sense of your presence. Pray, Father, that you will be amongst us. We think of all of these matters that have been announced to the congregation. And Lord, we're conscious that if you will, that these things will take place. And we do want to pray for your blessing to be upon every meeting, every outreach, every activity of this church in the week ahead. Thank you for the little ones, Father, that have gathered even in the children's church. Do be with them. We pray, Father, that early in life you'll open their hearts to receive the word of God. Remember, you called Samuel as a lad. And Lord, we do pray for those little ones just now, that some of them might hear the call of God, even to salvation. Lord, remember all that are sick. We think of several connected with our congregation, unable to be here today because of illness, colds and sicknesses. Lord, just be near to them, each one. Lord, as their circumstances differ, we rejoice that you're the God that is able to meet our need, whatever that need may be. Lord, be near to all of these dear ones. Pray they'll be conscious just of the prayers of God's people for them. But Lord, we pray now for a word from your mouth. We pray for a message from the Lord. We pray, Father, for help in the preaching. Pray for a sense of your presence. And Lord, what a mercy it would be, what a blessing, if your voice were to be heard even through your word now. We offer these our prayers to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. John 14, please, and the 15th verse. Chapter 14 and verse 15. It says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. We were down with the senior Bible class this morning, and our brother Trevor has been engaged in a very profitable study on the Ten Commandments with the young people, and we had a good time with them this morning as well. But here's a very important text in connection with the commandments of God. At times, as Christians, we're guilty of forgetting and neglecting the commandments. But the Lord says, if you love me, if you profess to be a Christian today, here's what our attitude ought to be to his commandments. He says we're to keep my commandments. I want to tell you a story just by way of introduction at the outset. If you think of the presidents of the United States, I think the number now is somewhere in the region of 43 or 44 that have held that office, 43 or 44 presidents of the United States. If you cast your mind away back to the man that had the honored position of first being president of the United States, George Washington himself. George Washington lived a very distinguished life. Even as a teenager, his life stood out. In Virginia, the state in which he grew up, at the age of just 16 years of age, he was given the position of state surveyor. He could use the surveying instruments very capably. He was able to do that from a young age. And at just 16, he was given that great responsibility of being the surveyor of the state of Virginia. Many years later, his honored mother, and as we're thinking of Mother's Day today especially, the story has particular relevance to us. But his mother was a guest of honor at a banquet that was being held. The way things worked out that night, she was seated beside quite a distinguished French soldier. And he was very impressed with George Washington, very impressed with his life, very impressed with how he had risen to such prominence and such position. And he asked George Washington's mother the question, "How did you raise such a splendid son?" And this is the answer that George Washington's mother gave that night. And I pray that you might never forget it, particularly thinking of the day in which we live. George Washington's mother said to that French soldier, "I taught him to obey." And how important that is, men and women. Isn't that something that is lacking so much in homes, families, society, the land at large? "I taught him to obey." He learned to obey his mother and his father in the home. He learned to respect authority, the authority of those that had the right to tell him what to do and what not to do. And in her eyes, and I don't doubt that she was far off the mark, in her eyes that was the key. That was the secret to why he rose to such prominence. Taught him to obey. When he left the home and he went out into the workplace, out into society, a citizen of the land, the lesson of obeying authority, he took that with him. And every person that had the right to direct him and command him, he submitted and obeyed that authority till he rose to the highest position in the land. And you know, men and women, we need, can I say to you this morning, we need to learn that lesson too as Christians. One of the most important and yet one of the most difficult lessons for us to learn is the lesson to obey. Obey our parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We ought to obey the authorities in the land, the government, as far as they obey the teaching of God's word. Sometimes there comes a point where we have to say we obey God rather than men. But in the whole, in the main, we obey the authorities of the land, the authorities in the workplace and so on, the authorities in school. But ultimately for us as Christians, we ought to obey God. "If you love me," he says, "keep my commandments." Remember what Peter told us in his epistle? We're not just to be hearers of the word. I wonder, is that the sort of Christian you are? You come every week just to hear the message. And that's right and good and important. But that's not the end of it, men and women. He says we're not just to be hearers. We're to be doers as well. We're to obey the blessed word of God. If I was to put this question to you this morning, what is the greatest thing that you could do for God? I wonder, could you ponder that for a moment? As a Christian today, what is the greatest thing that you could do for God? Is it to die, to give your life for him, become a martyr for the faith? The greatest thing would it be to be imprisoned, as many have had to endure long and hard years of imprisonment, persecution for the faith? Would the greatest thing that you could do for God be to give away all that you have, every possession that you have in this world? You know, men and women, the answer to the question is much simpler than all of those things. The greatest thing that you can do for God as a Christian is this: to obey his voice in all that he would say to you. We're thinking of Mother's Day, and mothers and fathers represent the authority in the home, and a good child obeys their parents, their mother and their father. We've quoted that verse already: obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And it's the same in the Christian life. A good child of God will obey their heavenly Father, will do those things that he asks of them. Think of the text, men and women. I'd like you to ponder it carefully. If you're a Christian today, it's speaking to you. If you say you love the Lord, if you say there was a day you were saved, then here's what the Lord is asking of you today. Keep my commandments. Do every day those things that I say to you. I want to stress, men and women, how vital obedience is this morning. It's something that is central, something that is key to living a victorious and a successful Christian life. And there's three vital facts about obedience that I want to leave with you. And as we think of these three vital facts, they will show to you, I believe, how important obeying the voice of God is. First of all, as you think of obedience, remember it's an evidence of conversion. Do you say today you're converted? Would you say you have a testimony? Would you tell others that you're saved? Well, is there evidence of that, men and women? Evidence of conversion. Obeying God is one of those evidences. You think of birthmarks when children are born. They're birthmarks with some, they're much more prominent than others. Well, remember this. There are spiritual birthmarks. If the new birth has taken place in your life, if you're born again of the Spirit, there'll be evidence. There'll be marks of that fact. When you read John's epistle, or the three epistles of John, the first one in particular, remember that that's a prominent theme of John's first epistle. He sets out many of the birthmarks of the child of God. Maybe on some occasion we could go through those together. One of the birthmarks is love. Love for the brethren. You know, if you don't love your brethren and sisters, don't love other Christians, those that profess the name of the Lord, you can't claim to be a child of God yourself. That's one of the prominent marks of a child of God. But John also mentions obedience. He says, hereby we do know that we know him. Here's how you know it, that you really know the Lord. If we keep his commandments. Are you doing that, believer, brother, sister? Here's a mark, an evidence of conversion. Can I put it to you this morning? Do you have it? Is it found in your life? Is there evidence of conversion in the way that you live day by day? You think of it like this. If you were charged with being a Christian, and remember in some countries that happens, if you were charged with being a Christian, could you be convicted of it? Is there enough evidence in the way you live every day that people know that you're a child of God? You think of Lot. We did look a little at Lot one night in our studies in the life of Abraham. And we noted the point that in what you read about Lot in the Old Testament, there's not a thing there that would give you any suggestion that Lot belonged to the Lord, that Lot was a child of God. It's only when you read those words in Peter's epistle about just Lot, it's only then that you know he was justified by God's grace. But believer, can I ask you, is that the sort of life that you live? When people look at you every day, there's not a thing. Just like Lot, wasn't one thing that would suggest he was a Christian. Is that the sort of life that you live? Obedience to God is an evidence of conversion. Now remember, faith is something that's invisible. You can't see it, you can't look upon it. When we put our faith in Christ, no one can actually see that take place or see that we have done it. But remember that obedience is something that can be seen. People can witness it, whether you obey the commandments or not. It's something that's evident to all that are around. They can see it in your life, see it in your conduct, see it in your behavior. Other people can see your obedience. Is it there, men and women? Is it there in your life to be seen? Do people know that you're converted because the evidence of faith, the fact that you obey God's word, it's very clearly seen by all that know you. You think of foot and mouth. There's been outbreaks, epidemics of it in this country. Well, foot and mouth sums up a very clear teaching of a certain part of the Bible to do with the animals that were clean and unclean. God gave clear instructions for the children of Israel. There were some animals that they could eat and some that they couldn't. And the way that they were distinguished, if you read carefully the Old Testament, was by their foot and their mouth. Those that had cloven feet, like a cow, and chewed the cud, those were the sort of animals that the children of Israel could eat without becoming unclean in God's sight. And you know, men and women, that in a way sums up the Christian life too. That's how people will know that you're clean, that you've been washed, that the blood is applied, your sins have been forgiven. The way people know it is because they'll see it in your foot and they'll see it in your mouth. They'll see it by the way you walk and they'll see it in the way that you talk. Is the evidence there, men and women? What a question that is. The Saviour said, "Ye are my friends." You're only a friend of God, you're only a friend of the Saviour if ye do whatsoever I command. Not just the things that you like or the things that you choose, the things that you decide to do. He said, you're my friend if ye do whatsoever I command you. Obedience, an evidence of faith. I want you to think as well that obedience is essential to power. Isn't it true? We need the power of God. The church needs God's power. You know, if we're honest today, there's a sense in which we've become powerless. We don't have the power of God. We don't have the anointing. We don't have the influence upon the land that once the church did. We don't see the results. We don't see the workings of God. We don't see the mighty harvest of souls. You remember Samson, shorn of his locks, and he lost his power. Well, Samson's life at that time is like a picture of the church. We have lost our power as well. The same is true in individual lives. What if yourself today, believer? Do you have the power of God? The fullness of the Spirit? Has it ever been your experience as a Christian? Remember, we need that power. As the Bible makes clear, the flesh is weak. Zechariah, in his great prophecy, reminds us, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. When he says not by might nor by power, he's talking there about physical, fleshly might and power. That's not how you get the victory. That's not how you achieve the blessing of God. He says it's by my Spirit. That's where the real power comes from, brethren and sisters. And we need God's power. If you've never known that, if you've never thought of it, if you've never seen it, men and women, oh, that God might let you see it today. We need His Spirit. And we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You'll only know the fullness of His blessing. You'll only know God's blessing resting upon you as it ought if you know the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And that's something as a Christian that you ought to pray for every day. There's one bit of good advice could be given to every Christian, and especially to new converts. It's this: pray every day for the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Some men were once standing beside the great Niagara River in Canada, looking out at those massive falls. And one said to the other, that is the greatest unused or untapped power source there is in the world. He was thinking of how it could be used to generate electricity, the hydroelectric stations and so on. And in more modern times that has been done. The greatest untapped power source in the world. But that's not accurate, men and women. Spiritually speaking, that's not true. The greatest untapped power source in the world is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. In our reading today, the Lord said he would send another comforter. That's speaking about the Holy Ghost. The word there is paraclete, the one that comes alongside to help. What you need to know, brethren and sisters, if you feel your weakness today, the weakness of the flesh, what you need to know is that God has provided the power that you need to live the Christian life to the full, to live it in victory. And you can have it. You can have that power, men and women. And you can have it on one condition. And that condition is that you obey God. Obey his word with all your heart. Remember that this power that we're speaking about, this infilling, it is conditional upon our obedience to him. Don't you think for one minute that you can live as you like as a Christian. Live just whatever way you choose and expect to have the power of God resting upon your life and your labours and upon the church. The book of Acts teaches that God gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. Do you see it? Here's the condition. If we want the Holy Ghost, if you want it personally, if we want to have it collectively as a church, here's the condition. He gives it to them that obey him. Who will the Lord fill with his Spirit? Who will the Lord give his Spirit to, his power to, in all its fullness? To those that are obedient to him, to his word, and to his will. Remember, brethren and sisters, God won't fill a dirty vessel. Now, if you think of it, generally speaking, you wouldn't do that yourself. If you were going to make yourself a wee cup of tea, and you looked and you seen the cup was dirty and hadn't been washed from the previous time, in all probability you take the time to clean it. Especially if you're going to use the cup to serve the tea to a visitor. You wouldn't fill a dirty vessel. Well, God doesn't do that either, men and women. The Spirit won't dwell in this fullness where there's sin. Remember, sin grieves. Sin quenches the Spirit. Wasn't it Robert Murray McShane that prayed that tremendous prayer? He prayed that he would be as holy as a saved sinner could be. What a prayer that is. May the Lord give us grace to pray it. Wasn't that, men and women, the secret of his life? The secret of the power that rested on his ministry. You have it there. The holiness, the purity of the life that he lived. Can I ask you this morning, men and women, are you longing for something more in the Christian life? You want to get on to a higher plane? Do you want this power of which we have been speaking? Well, here's the pathway to it. Submit to God. Submit to God's commandments, God's will, as it's revealed in his word. There's one other thing, just as we think of this. Obedience is the evidence of conversion. It's essential to power, and it ensures answers to our prayers. Isn't that what we all want, we look for? God does answer prayer, men and women. What an encouragement that is. That should encourage you to spend time on your knees every day. That should encourage you out to the prayer meetings of the church, knowing that God answers prayer. You know, it has to be said, many Christians don't really believe in the power of prayer. That may seem a striking thing. But you know, if you really believed in the power of prayer, you would give the priority to the prayer meetings. You would never miss a prayer meeting of the church. Think of that great text, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Isn't that tremendous? What a blessing. If we call, he says, he will answer. And he'll show us great and mighty things. Is that what the church needs, the land needs? Remember, those words are literally great and hidden things. Maybe your circumstances today, they're so discouraging.
that they're so overwhelming, you can never see a way out of it. Well, God says if you call, He'll show you great and hidden things. He'll do for you and your home and your family things that you can't even see. Remember those words, above all that we could ask or even think, even in your dreams, even in your imagination, God can do even greater still. But remember, it will only be if we're an obedient people. Only if we obey His word. Do you remember King Saul in the Old Testament departed from God? He got away from the Lord. He disobeyed God's voice so clearly. Wasn't it King Saul that the Lord had to give that rebuke to through Samuel to obey? It's better than sacrifice and to hearken than the fat of rams. Well, this disobedient king, he got to the point where he was in dire straits. And he cried out to God. And here's the answer the Lord gave to a disobedient child of his. The Lord answered him not. It's not solemn, men and women. And maybe that's how you find yourself today. The Lord has answered you not. Could it be, my friend, because of your disobedience that you haven't obeyed the Lord as you ought? Let me just read you again some of the words from John, his epistle. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Obedience, men and women, the Bible teaches that that's just one reference, but in many places, obedience ensures answers to our prayers. It's like this, you could sum it up this way. Holy living, and that's the need of the hour. So much carelessness in the lives of Christians today. Holy living is the need of the hour, men and women. Holy living is purity, but in some regards it has become a dirty word in the church. Don't want to hear about purity. Don't want to be told about holiness of life any longer. Holy living makes for powerful praying. Now that's the result of it, men and women. You remember the Bible talks about lifting up of hands. It's a great study, the study of hands in the Bible. There's the laying on of hands that happened in Macrofelt on Friday night. That's an indication of somebody being set apart, separated for the work of God. There's the linking of hands at the communion table when a person's received into membership. The hand, the right hand of fellowship, the welcome of the church is extended. And there's the lifting up of hands. That's a symbolism of prayer. The psalmist said, let my prayer be set before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands before you. It's a symbol of prayer. And the Bible speaks of lifting up holy hands, brethren and sisters. How important that is. We want the prayers answered. If we want the prayers to be heard in heaven, the hands that we raise to God in prayer, they need to be holy. They need to be the hands of a person that's living a life that's pleasing to God in obedience to His word. This is what the book of Proverbs says. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. Is that the sort of Christian you are? You come to church and you read your Bible. You hear the voice of God. God has been speaking. God has been showing you His will. But your response has been you've turned away your ear from hearing the law. It's not a sobering thing, serious thing. Well, this is what happens if you turn away your ear from hearing the law. Even His prayer shall be abomination. Isn't that a strong statement, men and women? If you don't obey God, and then in your need you get down before the Lord, there's what God thinks of the prayer that you offer to Him. He says it's an abomination in His sight. The book of Zechariah gives us a similar statement. Therefore, it has come to pass that
as he cried, and they would not hear. That's God speaking to his people, and they wouldn't listen. So they cried. There came a day when the children of Israel were in dire need, and they cried to the Lord, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Obedience, men and women, ensures answer to our prayers. You know, there is a time to stop praying. There is, in fact, a time to stop the prayer meeting. And that time, men and women, is when there's wrongs that need to be put right. The Savior said, if you come to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has ought against thee, he said you're to leave your gift at the altar, and first go and be reconciled to your brother. There's a time, you see, men and women, to stop praying and stop the prayer meeting. When there's relationships that aren't right, that need to be put right. Do you remember Joshua? Whenever they went up to Ai and they were defeated, and Joshua spent the next day on his face before the Lord in prayer. Well, here's what the Lord said to Joshua at the end of that prayer meeting. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? What are you doing lying down there in the dust? We would have thought he did the right thing. He brought it to the Lord. But you know the problem was, men and women, he prayed too late. He didn't pray about going up to Ai before the wind. You see, there was sin in the camp, the sin of Achan. And that's why the Lord broke up the prayer meeting. That's why the Lord told Joshua to get up from off his face. The Lord would never hear his prayers until the sin in the camp had been dealt with. Sin hinders prayer, men and women. The psalmist said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. There's sin in your heart tonight, or today, sin in your life, undealt with, unconfessed sin. Here's the result it has upon your prayer life, and upon the prayer life of the church. The Lord says, I will not hear thee. So that's the reason, men and women, why your prayers are not heard. You've been disobedient to the voice of God. You see, to ensure that there's answers to your prayers, you need to obey his command and obey his voice. Obedience, then. Lessons about obedience. An evidence of conversion, essential to power, and it ensures answers to our prayers. Obedience is vital, men and women. That's the message of the text. I pray that's the message the Lord will burn into your heart today. It's something that is central to the Christian life. And you know, can I say, just as a finish, if there's those here without Christ, and I know there are amongst us, you're not saved. Well, there's a command in the Bible that you need to obey. And that's the command to repent. God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Does not take us in. All men everywhere. You need to repent. The first message the Lord Jesus ever preached summed up in these words, repent ye and believe the gospel. And I urge you to obey that command. Obey that exhortation at the close of this morning meeting today. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We're going to turn